Chapter 3. On Faith, Commandments, or Circumcision. On page 13 of your pamphlet, I find a paragraph, which must necessarily be misleading, to those who have not read my articles. You say, what was the change in them of which he complains so strongly? Was it that they had kept the moral law so well, had observed the Sabbath, refrained from idolatry, blasphemy, murder, lying, stealing, etc.? That they felt they were justified by their good works, and therefore needed no faith in a crucified Savior? Or was it that they had accepted circumcision, with all it implied and symbolized, the laws and services which served as a wall of separation between Jews and Gentiles, and the ordinances of the typical remedial system? We unhesitatingly affirm, it was the latter. In endorsing the former remedial system of types and shadows, they virtually denied that Christ, the substance to which all these types pointed, had come. Hence their error was a fundamental one in doctrine, though they might not realize it. This was why Paul spoke so forcibly, and pointed out their error with such strength of language. Their error involved practices which were subversive of the principles of the gospel. They were not merely errors of opinion. Anyone who had not read my articles would naturally conclude on reading the above, that I had claimed that the Galatians were most strict in their observance of the Ten Commandments, and that by this means they expected to be justified from past transgression. That is the very opposite of what I taught. I made it as clear as I knew how, that the Galatians were accepting circumcision with all it implied and symbolized, and were accepting the Jewish error that circumcision was the only means of justification. We cannot suppose that the Jews who were thus seeking to turn the Galatians away from the faith, taught them to ignore the Ten Commandments, but we do know that they did not teach them to rely solely upon their observance of the moral law as a means of justification. The true gospel is to keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. The perverted gospel which the Galatians were being taught was to keep the commandments of God and circumcision. But since circumcision is nothing, and there is in the universe no means of justification outside of Christ, it follows that they were practically relying upon their good works for salvation. But Christ says, "Without me ye can do nothing," that is, the man who rejects Christ, by accepting some other mode of justification, cannot possibly keep the commandments, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. So we find that the Galatians, although they had once accepted Christ and known God, were now insensibly turning away from God, and of course going back to the heathen practices which came so naturally to them. This is shown by several expressions. First, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. This shows that they were being removed from God, for God is the one who calls people unto the fellowship of his Son. Again we read, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements? This shows that they were turning from God. Once more we read, ye did run well, who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? These passages clearly show that which made the case so urgent, was the fact that the Galatians were leaving the truth of God, and going into idolatry. This was not because the Jews were teaching them to break the commandments, but because they were putting their trust in something besides Christ, and the man who does that, cannot keep from sin, no matter how hard he tries. Those who attempt to build their house on anything, except the rock Christ Jesus, are building for destruction. And so I believe as firmly as you can, that their error was fundamental and a grave one.